Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to PGN. This is August 3rd, 2021, this Tuesday evening, and this is Deborah with you this evening. Glad to be here and glad that you are joining us. Bless you, bless you, bless you in Jesus' name. So thanking the Lord just for his faithfulness and his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness this evening, this week. So let's pray, shall we? We'll enter into the word, and then we'll enter in by the Spirit and the way that Jesus made to him for us, boldly coming into the throne room of grace, boldly asking with great courage and great confidence, but with humble hearts for all that God chose to do for us. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that we have open heaven to you, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. It is so welcomed. We enjoy the fellowship of your Spirit, the fellowship of your presence and your goodness, your grace and your mercy, God, just the sufficiency and the bread of life that you offer us, God, is so sustaining, so grounding, God, and so needed. Lord, we thank you, Father God, the freedom and the love and the relationship that we have for you, God, that every morning, God, every morning when we wake up, God, you tell us, Lord, there's the expression of you are so free, you are so free, but yet so wanted. And the Lord wants us to come into his presence. He wants us to fellowship with him and to esteem him and to honor him and to worship him and to get to know him more and more so that we might trust him in all of his ways and trust our identity truly and fully and securely and who he's called us to be and made us to be, including the gifts, right? We can't even choose which gifts that he's created that and he's stamped us with his likeness and made us completely whole and complete in his. So we thank you, Lord. We just present ourselves to you this evening, God, by the blood of the Lamb and your righteousness. We thank you, Father, and dedicate this evening to you, God, and ask that it be honorable unto your name, that you receive the glory. I pray that your name would be lifted up, that all men and women might be drawn to you. God, we pray for salvations. We pray for the infilling and filling of the Holy Spirit. God, anything that is opposing the work of the Holy Spirit and the listeners' lives, God, whether it be even ourselves, God, self anything, God, self selfishness, God, or righteousness, things that would oppose the Holy Spirit, God, we ask that you would remove those and that we could humbly come to you, God, and humbly serve you, God. And even in humility, Lord, because it's not the things that this world, esteems or gives clout to for the raising up, but the humbling, God, you raise up and that you esteem and that your kingdom is built on that, God. So we thank you, Lord, that we endeavor to remain humble before you, Lord. That is even being to those that are thankless, Lord, to serve, and those that persecute us, God, we pray for them and spitefully use us, Lord. We thank you for that, God. We thank you for just doing your work in us, God. And just as you broke your bread, you broke the bread on the night you were betrayed, right? You broke the bread. No one knows communion better than PGN. You broke the bread and you gave thanks. So in the brokenness and the places of our brokenness, God, where you're breaking our selfishness, you're breaking our pride, you're breaking those things that oppose the Holy Spirit that are within us, so that we might, for the indwelling power might be full to maturity, God, that we would allow this process before you humbly, God, and taking communion and recognizing your work, your purposes, and your ways in our lives, God. And I thank you that you would bring the encouragement. You would bring the encouragement in our lives and show us, Lord, the growth that every listener has made in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. That was a longer prayer than I thought I was going to pray or even had. But, hey, good evening to everyone. We are, I don't know, my earbuds for some reason are bothersome this evening, but I'm going to press through. And thank you for last week. I was not here, so thank you for that. It was very refreshing and very needed. So praise God for that. I was actually we had company traveling here from out of town. That was the, I don't know if there was a mix up in the message there, but that's what it was. Is that we ourselves did not go out of town. We had company traveling through. On their way to the South Carolina beaches from Michigan and stayed with us a couple of days. Okay. And then they'll be back this weekend, but it was a little bit more hectic last week. But I don't want to get into all of that part of it. Or maybe I will later. Who knows? Okay. Well, for those of you, so I pull up two things. I use a Bible Gateway, and one of the verses that came up for the daily verse of the day, the latter part of 1 Samuel 16:7 says, which I thought was kind of fitting for what I wanted to talk about. It says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that is so true in all things. And he sees things. You know, when things are get established with the Lord, he does that first spiritually, and then it'll happen in the natural. And it's so opposite than the things in this world, right? The things in this world work on outward appearance, expecting them to change things inwardly. But it doesn't happen that. God works from the inside out. And even spiritually, when things are established spiritually and we do things according to his purpose and his ways and his order, you know, what happens is first you're setting it in order spiritually, and then you begin to see the fruit of it and the walking out of it. And that's where you begin applying his word, right? Like David said, he is blameless. I think it's Psalm 80-something, 86, 82, somewhere in there. David says, "I am blameless before the Lord." And the reason he could say that, which I love, you know, Paul and David both really had show us by their statement of words and their beliefs, and not only in their heart, but in their mind. They were solidified in their mind and the confidence of the word of God and trusting it so much that it's purified as truth, right? When Jesus prayed in John 17, he said, "Lord, sanctify them with the truth, and my word is truth." And so David and Paul really had that settled in their minds and who they were. They knew who, you know, okay, they knew who they were before Christ. They knew, David knew his heir and his, you know, the heir of his ways and what he did with Bathsheba, her husband, the presumptuous sin, you know, he said, "Keep me from presumptuous sin," you know, that he really fully began to understand the heart of God and the ways of God and the purposes of God. And it was established in his mind. Wow, if I set these things in order first spiritually, then the fruit and the abounding part comes later on, right? So you can't expect to see fruit or expect to even feel or think a certain way when you're first doing this establishment thing, right? It's like planting that seed in the ground, and you're not going to get a harvest on it and eat the fruit of it when, you know, when you're watering the ground. It's going to take even a little while for the water to reach the seed, and then the process for which it is to die before it can bring forth this new life and new growth and break ground, and then continue to have growth from there, right? And this apparently the Holy Spirit wanted me to share that this evening. But that's how we move forward in the Word of God. So I love the two things that I really love about Paul and David is that they were really established ways and the purposes of God that they communicated so that it also became their mindset and their belief, okay, as if they did that, and that's how they communicated it. And that's what caused them to be steadfast as well. Okay, but that is not even what I wanted to talk about or say. So praise God for his faithfulness and flowing. Okay, son, and I'm not even going to be lying. It's just Romans. So I was driving today, and so it's interesting because even moving to this new, I call it a new, I was going to say region, but maybe it is a new region, and I don't even know that, but I know I'm going to be praying what the Lord wants me to pray in this area, but the first time I went to the local store down the street, and this was last week, my receipt came to $22 exactly, if anyone remembers me even sharing anything about moving here and the pattern of consistency with the number of 22 repeatedly happening, even on our contract, on our signatures on the contract, it's just repeated, repeated, repeated. And so I thought that was interesting. And even the woman said, the cashier commented, an even number. We've gotten a lot of even numbers today. And so I just thought it was even just a confirmation of the Lord wanting me to like really make note that this didn't fall on you by happenstance. You know, this was very significant and what I purchased. And so then the next time I went, it was the same thing. The number 22 was in it at the ladder. I think it was the cent part of it. You know, the change was the 22 part was in it. Again, it repeated itself. Okay, so the Lord's still drawing that out. So when I was thinking about that, I was driving, praying about PGN and asking the Lord, and I heard the words reasonable service. And I thought of this too because we're actually spending some extra time in our home and extra care, taking care of John's mom. Okay, and so the words reasonable service came to mind, and I wanted to look that up and see what the Lord was saying and speaking about that. And so there's a few things I want to talk about on this. So the verse here is Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is in the New King James Version. So I'm going to talk about this maybe a little different than what you're used to hearing. So don't just tune it out because you've heard this verse in the past. I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, that's where I'm going to stay. That's verse 1. Verse 2, just to put it in a little more context, says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, perfect will of God. And I guess that verse 2 actually helps to solidify what I was talking about in the seed and the reference to David and Paul, because they ended up doing that. They transformed and renewed their minds, and then they proved what was good, acceptable, and perfect will of God so I don't want to go back there, but that part, which I didn't know that until I just read it, but that very much correlates with what I was sharing at the beginning with David and Paul. So let me just leave it at that. So the word present, okay, the word present, going back to the verse, by the mercies of God, present yourself, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Okay, to present is 42 times. It means literally to show or to present, to prove, to stand beside, to stand near, to be in hand, present by, to appear, okay, a stand byer. So Jesus, let me just do this. Luke 22:22, because Jesus was presented in the temple. Okay, so Luke 2:22, but let me read 21 first, because it is Jesus. It says, and when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now, when the days of her purification occurred to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him, which is Jesus, to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law that every male. Okay, so they actually, Jesus was presented. This is the same type of thing. There was a presented, okay, and it was like a setting apart. It means you're ready, okay, to show yourself and to be ready. Okay, living. It's very almost like Zoe, like life, like that type of thing. But it's Z-O-Z-A-O. Okay. A living sacrifice. So real life, to have worthy of the name. And we are worthy of the name because of the mercies of God. Gotta wait. I'm sorry. Gotta turn the light on. Okay. So by the mercies of God, that is why we are vital in power, full of vigor, fresh, strong, efficient, active, powerful. Okay. This is living. These things we should have because of the mercies of God, and we can present ourselves. Okay. Now, reasonable is in scripture really just one time here in Romans 12:1, and then in 1 Peter 2:2. So it's very interesting. I didn't realize the 2:2 was there again with the Luke 2:22. So reasonable, really the only where in scripture is found here in Romans 12:1, right? So let me just go back and read it. By the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, reasonable is a reason or logic, spiritual, pertaining to the soul. Okay, that is reasonable. But it's also given to us because of the mercies of God. It's only reasonable that we would allow ourselves to be a sacrifice used for him and his service and his worship, right? The things that we worship, agreeable to reason and follow reason and logically. Okay. It also says the reason of the soul, and okay, it has to relate a little bit of our soul, agreeable following reason. Okay. And that says the milk, which nourishes the soul. So 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babies desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, and some versions say, up to salvation. So there's a maturity that comes from it. So it's interesting that this verse in Romans 12:1 is literally talking because it's so reasonable. It's like fresh out of the gate, fresh out of the, like when I was talking about that seed that gets planted and then it gets watered. It's only reasonable that you would water a planted seed. You know, it's logical, it's reasonable, you know, and it's rendered reason that this would be accomplished because of it. And so, and the same is true because you have been given them by the mercies of God. These things should be coming forth. And it even is a reference to growing up in the things of the Lord. And I know this could be maybe, you know, it's interesting because a little bit this could be almost offensive to some people within the Christian body, and probably not here on PGN. But those who are walking in such a way where they're walking in their fleshly desires would be offended by this, and it may be not even be talked about or brought forth. But the Lord is really saying we go back to and purify this, because this is even, there's even a reference here to something with the priest as well, is that this is a reasonable thing. Like the mercies of God have been given to you. This is reasonable that you would present yourself and not just a flesh of like the things that would oppose the Holy Spirit, as if I was praying at the very beginning, you know, like our selfishness, you know, and those types of things that are reasonable in our bodies as a living sacrifice, okay? Even our what we do, our time, and not just, it's not just fleshly sexual desires. It's not. It has been that, and it will be that, but it's not always that. It can be things, and it's just in our own, you know, we're not wanting to serve the church in a certain way, or go on a mission trip because of maybe who's going to be on that trip, and very petty things, very selfish things, and not being reasonable with who Christ is and what he's called you to do before him, as opposed to serving people before you're serving Christ. And that's not logical, because of his mercy. Okay. So, and it refers to your soul, reasonable within your own soul. So Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So we have been given atonement for our soul. So praise God for that. So our service is any type of service, and service to God and worship. Okay, and our service can be in our home, in our office, meaning our workplace, and even in our church. Okay, that is our service to him. So a lot of people, and I know even here on PGN too, you know, are serving the Lord in their home, their own children, their own parents, their own spouses, you know, and family, and standing in the gap for them, very much so. So we want to present all that we are before the Lord, because we want, right, if we're going to be a slave to something, we want to be a slave to obedience and not to sin. And so we just thank the Lord. We just thank the Lord. I don't know if this makes sense, but it said to me earlier. And so just presenting ourselves every day when we wake up, even if you're in your own home, serving the Lord in your own home, even if you work from home, and whatever that might be, that you're presenting yourself before the Lord as a reasonable sacrifice, even your body, right? Even what we eat, how we, like if we need to take a walk, and our, you know, taking care of stresses and all of that, just be reasonable and logical with our own soul before the Lord because of his mercies, because of his purchase for that. And that is surprisingly to me, and learning that today, it is actually if it refers to milk, it's a growing up. It's an elementary thing that we should be doing and participating in, and at least being intentional about it, mindful and intentional of it. And you can ask the Lord, how it is, you know, what you ought to be doing, what you should be doing, with your time and your service to him. And even asking him the things that you don't really want to do. Why is that you don't want to do it? Is it selfishness? I mean, I've said that before myself, you know, or is it, you know, some type of, you know, relationship, and that, like, I just don't like that leader rubs me the wrong way, or, you know, that person is whatever, something in a relationship. that needs to be iron sharpens iron, kind of like, you know, smoothed out, you know, but saying yes, yes to the Lord and allowing him, stepping out in faith and, you know, really allowing the Holy Spirit to work in your life and to teach you, as opposed to saying no. Because when we say no, when the Holy Spirit is nudging us to do these things, we are, it's opposing the Holy Spirit, right? That's our selfishness opposing the Holy Spirit. And yes, there's going to be a lot of times really our obedience, you know, it says our obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, our obedience is probably in there through your obedience. There probably is likely to be a sacrifice. However, you will reap a greater reward if you do it surely out of obedience, as opposed to thinking, okay, I'm going to sacrifice this, and something of your own decision and your own will, as opposed to just obeying the Lord, because he sees that. He sees the heart and what is done in secret, and he will reward it. He will reward your obedience. Thank you, Laura. Let's open the phone lines. Thank you for waiting. God bless you. 205-531. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Julia May from Alabama.
Hey, Julia May. How are you?
Alabama.
Good. Hey, let's pray for you. Then you can share with us. Yeah. Thank you, Father God, for Julia May, Lord. We just bless her in Jesus' name, Lord, and bring her to your altar. God, I thank you, Lord, for just clearing the way, God. Even when the waters seem muddy, God, Lord, that you clear that, Lord, according to your word, God. We thank you, Lord, just for your brilliance. The brilliance of your word, God, can make things crystal clear. And I thank you, Lord, that you speak these things to her, God, clearly and before her. God. And I thank you, Lord, for just these deposits, Lord, and even like the dew of heaven, the refreshing, Lord. I thank you, Lord, just for the brilliance of heaven speaking before her, God, and clearing the way, God, and clearing it to see it clearly, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that her, like, you're not stuck. Sometimes the Lord just calls us to stand, and we stand before him, and standing is always good, even if we're just standing, but we're not stuck. You know, it's not like our feet are stuck in the mud. He's just called us to stand, and when we do that before him, he, it could be a thing like he's fighting your battles for you. Mm-hmm. He's mm-hmm. working on something. It's not by might, mm-hmm. not by power, but by my spirit. And mm-hmm. And I just see like the brilliance of his word. I know this, but the brilliance of his word coming before you, and like one drop of that can clear everything up, that you can mm-hmm. gain so much clarity in past, present, and future. So many things come together, and that you see where he was and how he reached you, and just the clarity mm-hmm. and the brilliance of that, it just clears the way for you. So praise God for it.
Oh yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jennifer's still doing good, and she lost a little weight, so she doesn't want to stand for a month. Mm-hmm. But she's doing good.
Okay. Yeah,
so she's at home? Yeah, she's at home. No, she came home about 3 weeks ago, but he got a chance to see it without all the fluid, because he looked at it and he said, I get a chance to see without fluid. And I saw an old picture of that, and I saw her leg large, but it didn't look like they was that large. And I was looking at the difference. He said, keep the fluid off, and trying to find out why her heart is no weak. So he's doing some blood tests and stuff and going to monitor. I have to go back in a month. Well, she's doing great.
Oh, good. So they kind of got the fluid under control then, mostly.
Yeah, he still, she on a water pill, so like he said, now we can get up to 50 pounds of water off of her. Yeah, it was a lot of water.
Okay. Yeah. All right, good. Mm-hmm. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. That's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. I'm taking it easy, too, like somebody just, won't work because I don't want to go out and, in the school and stuff, be around so many different people and, come here because her heart's so weak and stuff.
Right, for sure. Now, did you find something remotely or part-time or?
No, I just, I'm still looking, and I just want to, put back in my unemployment, but I'm still online, just looking. Because I told I said, I just, go ahead for the year because I don't know how things will be because some of her being so weak and, can't go to school, I have to get somebody to keep her because I don't know about the center and, if she can deal with it because she go to the bathroom so much with that water pill, just like within the hour, she just 30 to 40 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, because I know the reason I ask because I recall you seeking and mm-hmm. for prayer and actively seeking for employment. So I wasn't sure if anything came across the table on that one. Okay, good.
No,
well, I'm glad that Jennifer's mm-hmm. doing better and whatnot. And anything interesting happening in Alabama that we need to know about or pray about?
I have to pray for people now because it's gotten the COVID level so high, and this is it's real bad. We got almost like a hot spot. We hit happen Florida and Texas. So people just have to be careful because I had a friend. She called it. She don't know what she called it, but she had a shop, and then saw on the minister, he just passed 51 from, they didn't say, but he had a cold, but they didn't say, whether he was vaccinated or not. He was 51 years old, so he had to pray for people and tell them you got to be careful, you know, because this stuff is bad.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, you know, you just reminded me. John and I went to a friend's, a friend of ours, his mom had passed away, but we actually knew his brother, or John had did some business with his brother, and then his dad as well, and because they were all in building as well, and the wife or the friend's mother that passed, her dad and the wife used to go to these community luncheons. I might have mentioned them here before, but like way before COVID. And we used to sit next to them during the, I don't know, we just landed next to them all the time. She's a very sweet woman, just very, very, very dear woman. And actually a good friend of mine, I have slipped this through the cracks. She is married. She was the daughter-in-law to this person. So anyway, I got to see her too. So that was nice. But we got away just for a few minutes, you know, the two of us, to go to the funeral. It was a little bit of a dis- Anyways, I found out today that the one brother that we knew ended up getting COVID. And I was like, oh, man, we just seen him on Sunday, you know. I was like, I hope I wasn't too close to him, you know. Yeah, because I do remember talking to him, which is probably close enough, you know. But anyway, I was just hoping that that didn't. So I do know when it starts to get it all around in your circumference, you have to be very careful, especially when you have someone like your daughter with delicate health anyways.
Yes, you know, school didn't open, and, you know, one of the units that I work in, special education, they closed it off, so that means. So the other class now finna to be packed. And I said, I know I can't go up in there, and especially in the classroom.
Oh, wow.
You don't know who has a shot left and all that, you know. And that'd be every day just close up, and other folks coming to therapists and, you know, hey, that'd be too many people, you know, in there.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's pray for that. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your protection. And you're covering, God, you've been so good to Julia May and Jennifer, God, and our household. God, we thank you for your continued care and your mercy, God, just your goodness, Lord, in surrounding her, God, your great, great compassion. God, we thank you, Lord, for your loving covenant, blood covenant, God, that is from everlasting to everlasting, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for covering them and sheltering them under the shadow of the Almighty, God, and that you cease. Desist, and even with the word of God, like it would be an arsenal against and annihilate this virus that would try to head their way. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray for the state of Alabama, God, and Florida and Texas, God. We ask, Lord, that any more spread of this virus, Lord, that you would help to eradicate it. Even by your word, God, I pray for intercessors, Lord, those with priestly anointing, prophetic anointing, God, to break that up, God, in their regions, God, and to pray, Lord, and to release your word, Father God, even just speaking and bring it forth, Lord, even if they're just curious about your word, like, is this what the Lord, Lord, that it would come forth, God, because you sent your word to heal, God. That's what you said, God, that you would send forth your word to heal, God. And just like the centurion man who stood before you and said, he knew who you were. And he said, you are a man of authority and ranking. You, all you do is speak the word and it shall go forth and it shall be done. So God, we stand before you with faith like the centurion man, God, and ask you, God, to speak your word and to send it forth, for it shall be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us and being with us this evening. We appreciate that.
Okay, then. God bless you.
Care. Okay. Okay, caller 847239. Good evening. Where are you calling from and who am I speaking to?
Well, Stephanie from Illinois.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hello.
Hey. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for Stephanie. God, I just bring her before you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your throne of grace. Lord, I thank you, Father God, just your blood. God, the blood upon the doorpost, Lord, and the blood upon Lord speaking and amplifying her voice, God, to be heard and how she speaks for you, Lord. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony to be heard and to be known, Lord, and to be shared in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Let me just go here. I think it's Revelation. Oh, you know what I did? All right, hold on, I'm looking. Back it up. Oh. Hold on, I ended up changing the version. I know it's in Revelation where it talks about thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I know you know the verse too, where it talks about he who overcomes through the blood of the Lamb and the word of his testimony, and he loves his life not unto death. That particular verse is in Revelation. I couldn't find it for whatever reason, or if I maybe overlooked it. So there's something that on that with even your voice. So the blood of the Lamb, like even amplifying your voice through the word of your testimony. And the Lord does want that to be heard and to be known. And a lot of times when you speak forth like that, you don't always know how that word is landing and what the Holy Spirit is doing in someone's life and in someone's heart because you're bringing forth your testimony, but you're still doing it under the obedience, you know, your willingness and obedience to the word of God and to bring his name honor. When it says, if the Lord be lifted up, if the Lord be lifted up, he would draw all men unto him. So there's something very powerful that happens to that. And again, it's a spiritual aspect and a spiritual principle, which is the purposes and the ways of the Lord that we don't do, but the Holy Spirit does. We just step into the obedience of being willing and obedient to the word to actually take a hold of that in faith by doing whatever the action is, whether it's a word or deed. I was just trying to say, I almost mixed those words together. So, but I see something on that for you and sharing your testimony and the blood of Jesus being over that testimony and it being amplified and just the blood really covering it. And, in the same sense, or on the same track, I'm encouraging you to do so if you haven't begun already, or if the opportunity comes up, in the near future. And sometimes I'm not sure where you are in your walk, but I know at the beginning, when I started to share, I would sometimes, my heart would pound and I would get sweaty or very, very nervous and feel like I just couldn't do it. I couldn't go through with it. Even sometimes I felt like that when I would do witnessing, I would just get very, very nervous. My flesh just would not want to go there. It was contrary to the things of the spirit, you know, and, yeah, but there was obedience, you know, there's an obedient part to that, you know. And kind of like when you do fasting and you fast and then you have to, your physical body has to line up with what you're doing spiritually. And so it's like you mentally have this confidence and clarity to move forward. And you're allowing your physical body along for this journey, you know. And it's the same thing when you take a step of faith. The Lord will be there, and He'll make the provision and the way. And you know, just pray, and get others to pray for you too, that the word of the Lord, that your testimony would be effective, that the Lord would repeat a thing, that it would land, you know, on people's ears in faith. You know, right? So it says, the word also talks about how can they hear if there's not a preacher, you know? Well, you're preaching Jesus, you know, you're preaching it and bringing forth the testimony. So yeah, so it's activating faith. So just really take the word of the Lord, the truth in the word of the Lord, and pray it forth, because that's telling us, the word of the Lord is telling us what the will and the purposes of God are. So just like in the verse that I read earlier, so then what happens is after we do that is that we begin to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So a lot of times the word perfect in Scripture, when it's referring to us as disciples to follow in it, is actually refers to maturity. And it's saying, like, Stephanie can be the most mature Stephanie that Christ has made her to be, you know, because there might still be areas, Stephanie, that you mature in, that somebody else will be matured in a different area, and we still help each other and come alongside each other, and we prefer, you know, one over another. So, right, so we don't ever become conceited. We're confident in Christ, but humble at the same time, because we know apart from Him, we can do nothing, and that it's His design, that it's really just, you know, He created it, and we are walking according to who He's created us to be, right? So we wouldn't even have the fruitfulness and the everything else that comes alongside of it. We know, well, basically, you could boil it down this way, as my friend likes to say, Yvonne, is that the Holy Spirit makes us look good. But our souls, again, our souls are along for the ride with our spirit, letting our spirit lead, and that blesses the Lord. And so that was a lot more. But have you shared your testimony, any parts of your testimony? I know we can have several different parts, you know, but any part of your testimony, have you shared that before?
Yeah. I guess personally, I just don't find it interesting.
Oh, you don't. What about, okay, not just salvation, because you could have a testimony of like your, anyway, any testimony of how the Lord has come through for you, through any trial, tribulation, you know, whatever it might be, circumstance, unusual prayer, you know, anything is considered a testimony, not just salvation. So have you had any experiences that way that you could share that you might feel would be more of a natural flow of interest?
I guess for me, I like ongoing testimony. I like saying what's happening currently And then it like forces me to always like expect a new thing for God to do in my life.
Yes. But, okay, so when you were saved, tell me a little bit about when you were saved, if you don't mind sharing.
It was just when I was really young. And I just,
oh, so you were
yeah.
a child?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
Like
I mean,
I think I always just, because I grew up in a Christian home, so then I just
okay.
admired God.
Okay, and then how did you go from the part of admiring God to receiving Him as your Lord and Savior?
I think I was like maybe 7 years old when, like, I was watching some Christian video and they were talking about like heaven and hell and like how to be saved and all that, and then that's when I did
mm-hmm.
it.
Oh, okay. And then did you tell your mom afterwards, or was she in the room, or what?
Yeah, she was in the room.
Oh, okay. Did she say anything afterwards, or did you say anything to her?
I feel like I was crying, because, like, I don't know why, but it, I just felt, like, a lot of love in the video, like, in God's love. And then...
Yeah.
And then my mom was just like, well, are you sure you're even safe? Because she always just wants to make sure if, like, it's genuine or not.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I think that sounds very, especially the part when you're just sharing about being vulnerable, like crying. To me, it does sound like that was very genuine, that you would initiate that and reach out to the Lord and just feeling His love. And the depths of that as a 7-year-old that have brought tears to your eyes, that I think is very beautiful. And I think people need to hear that you responded, but not just you responding to the Lord. The Lord was actually there in His presence meeting you and responding to your heart, even as a 7-year-old. That's incredible. That's beautiful. I think there's a lot of people that are even hungry for that as well. And when people hear it, it encourages them in their faith, and whether their faith has actually brought them to the Lord yet, or, because I think a lot of people are looking for things that are so genuine and so lasting. And so, because you can't really, you're not fabricating any of it. You're just telling your story. So maybe the Lord will, have you ever shared your story, your testimony with like VBS or other children?
No. It would usually just be in like if I joined like a church group and they want to share their testimonies with each other.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what would you say to somebody who is like desiring to experience that type of presence or that type of love in their heart?
I guess for me, you have to be open to it, but then also like know that it's Him that like gives you that desire to want His love and like allows you to receive it.
Yeah, very good. Okay, thank you for that. And then let me just ask you one last question. When you mentioned about ongoing testimony, what is one of your ongoing testimonies?
For me, it's because I feel like God doesn't verbally speak very often. So, like, for me, it's like Jesus makes himself very known in my life. Like his presence is very strong, and then like people will repeat the same things and they won't know each other, and I'll be like, God's in this. And, like I learned from other people, because yeah, they'll just keep saying the same things that God wants me to learn.
Yeah. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so what about, do you mind me asking your age? I know it's, I mean, if you don't want to answer that, you don't have to.
26.
Okay, thank you. So, I mean, it sounded like you had a young voice. I think I have a young voice. So anyways, there's a difference. That's a couple of decades. So when I prayed for you, when I opened up your phone line and prayed for you, what was happening with the prayer that I prayed for you, with you, like as I was praying?
You mean like what kind of impact it made? Or for me, I like whenever you like speak over me, I like pray like in my mind, and then I just like allow the words to speak over me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because like a lot of the times, like what you say, like it doesn't affect me until later, and then I'm like, oh, that's why she said what she said.
Oh, really? That's interesting. So what, I mean, that's good, though. I mean, that's good, because I like what you're saying. So, because it's real, and it's honest and genuine. So as I was praying tonight, like talking about you bringing forward the testimony and whatnot, what was the Holy Spirit saying to you as you were praying to yourself as I was praying?
I feel like a lot of it is like, don't take everything as face value, and like just allowing him to like show me what that looks like show me how to share the testimony in the way he wants me to.
Yes, exactly. That's beautiful. That's perfect. Yeah, because I do see. Yeah, the blood of Jesus is on that. Like his blood is on that. So he actually owns your testimony, right? So anytime you speak for him, whether that's, you know, waiting in line wherever, you know, or sitting in the doctor's office, and which I know a lot of these things might look different nowadays, but, you know, but anytime you're in public or with other people, what that testimony is going to look like, how you're going to say that. But I did see for you, there's some sort of, it's amplified. There's some sort of amplification coming over your testimony. And again, so if the blood is, and then there's a way for you to, because it says the word, we overcome by the word, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So in that, when you're giving the word of your testimony, you are actually overcoming. There's something you're overcoming, and I don't know what that is. I mean, that might be a good thing to even ask the Lord for all of us, right? And to love your life not unto death, you know, meaning we thank God. Well, there can mean several things, but we thank God for the life that he has purchased for us, and that we want to follow him and walk in that, you know. So you hear people say and give even testimony to their calling. And I don't know, maybe this has got something to do with it as well. Your calling on your life would be a testimony. But the calling on their, like I've heard pastor, most recently a pastor say he didn't even want to be a pastor, you know, but the Lord kept redirecting him until he actually said yes to it, you know, and then like the Lord completely opened up all these doors and provision and blessing. Very anointed young man. Well, okay, I say young man because of my age. Young man who who definitely is walking in his calling, you know, but that was part of his testimony. And a lot of people, so the rest of us like need to hear that. Do you know what I mean? Because we think sometimes, so I don't know, maybe that, because that's what came to mind. So I'm wondering if it's, there's a connection there even to your calling. Do you have any idea what your calling is? I mean, you were saved at a young age. So maybe the Lord's already placed in your heart what that might be. Cassie?
Yeah, I really want to be a missionary, but I don't know the specifics of, like, how he wants that to look like.
Okay. So how that's going to get played out or whatever.
Yeah.
So, okay, very good. Very good. Okay, so, Father, we just thank you. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for talking and sharing. I really appreciate that and just kind of doing it on the fly and in the moment. It's very good. So, Father, I just thank you for Stephanie, God. I thank you, Lord, for drawing her at such a young age, God, and that her heart was responsive to you, God, before you and to you, God, and that you were so present there in her heart, God. I thank you for the engrafted word of God being performed in her life, God. We thank you for your presence and how you speak to her, God, and how she's yielding to you, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father God, that you would use her in a mighty way for her generation, God. I thank you, Lord, that she would have open doors, that she would have open mics, God, and that she would have an open heart to open her mouth to share her testimony, testimonies upon testimonies upon testimonies, God. And whatever those look like, Lord, just as she asked, Lord, that you would define that and refine it to her, God. But I thank you, God, for just the flow to come even in her mouth, God. And as she speaks, God, that rivers of living water would flow from her, God, and bring forth new life, dry places, God, of refreshing in other people's lives, God. And at times, Lord, maybe even like a fire hydrant, Lord, that would supply for an entire community. So we thank you, and Lord, we give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So praise God. Thank you so much again. That was really good. I do appreciate that.
Thank you for praying over me.
Okay, thank you. Have a good night. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Delay on my computer there. Okay, our next caller, 910-709. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia. How are you?
Hi. All right, and you?
Good. I'm doing pretty good. Is my microphone okay, the right sound, or is it too loud or too soft?
Shall we say?
Okay, good. Okay, thank you, Father, Lord, for Sylvia, Lord. We just thank you, Lord. Bring her to your throne room of grace, God, in Jesus' name, Lord. We thank you for the cycling, the script. Like the scribe, the cycling. The scribe, some things that like cycle back around, like a, thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord, for speaking into this, Lord, and just showing me, Lord. It is like a script. It is a, not a script like a play, but a script like, but it is written. It is, oh my gosh, I don't know how to put words to this. I wish I could just like draw a picture. The So it is like a script, like a lettering type thing. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Oh. I guess when people do different fancy initials on the monograms. Okay.
Yes.
Well, it's not a monogram, but there's different scripts, like, or different fonts or scripts or whatever, but more
uh-huh.
of a script, like very fancy type of a script like thing happening
uh-huh.
there. So it is like a lettering and a looping around, cycling around, and like the script is super fancy, and so like a scribe, you know, like, and it's something that is repeating itself, like a pattern that's repeating itself, but it's being written down, and it's kind of like a script or a scribe and a pattern. And you can, okay, that much I got. Thank you, Lord. Able to state that. So it's being captured in such a way that, like, just like, not okay, like those monograms are kind of like embroidered or whatever. I don't know if they use
mm-hmm.
machines or whatever. So it's being captured and followed. And I don't know if this is maybe even the way that you're ministering, that the Lord is showing you this. But I see it even framed. I see this thing being framed. And it's a, like, it's quite beautiful. And, like, if I would look at it, I would say, oh, okay, it looks like what I just described. But you would be able to tell me, oh, no, yeah, this is here. This, like, you would put it together for me in pieces that I can't see with my natural eye other than what I'm
uh-huh.
seeing, like the beauty of it. But you have the whole story and all the aspects, and you can explain to me how it fits together and why. Now, I don't know if this is, but I have an unction, and maybe, do I say the natural, that it might have a way that you do ministry, a way, something with, okay, Lord, thank you, Father. I just don't want to jump ahead in my own, and I don't want to jump ahead of my own presumption. So I do see this thing framed and it being like a script and a scribe and those things that I've already said. So Lord, is there any other connection or word? It's kind of like probably something you would keep in your home, have in your house or in your home. But that could also just mean other things, but thank you, Lord. Again, I don't want to be presumptuous and interpret anything in my own so thank you, Lord. It's kind of a golden color, like the background, and let me just describe this. It's kind of like a golden amber color. The scripting on it is more of like a white or a silver threading, if you will. But when I say script or scribe, I think of initially of it more being taken down, like written, taken down. And I do see it framed, but that might be a symbolic for it being captured, like this is being captured.
Mhm.
So there you have it. So I'm not going to do any more because I don't know that that's. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so let me ask you something. Has the Lord asked you to write things down?
Have
been prompting you in that way? Or do you just do it naturally, like after you minister, if you learn something new, you write it down, or?
Yes, I've been doing that.
Actually, okay. Someone had told me before something about a book, but I haven't so much as started it. What I have been doing is I have been trying to write an actual sermon, and I just started last week. So
oh,
I
wow.
have been doing
oh
that.
Gosh.
Yeah, I've
yeah.
been trying to write a sermon. And,
yeah.
and the sermon actually has to do with, I was once told by Terrence and Tanisha that the Lord said that I would teach people how to suffer, that I would teach on that. So I've been, my sermon I'm writing is The Power of Suffering.
Wow. Wow. That's good. Yeah, that's, yeah.
So I'm
pulling
scripture. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. You know what? Yeah. You know what I just seen was the word script and scribe and scripture. You're writing scripture.
Yes. Yep.
And, okay, that you're seeing it in such a way where, like, I've seen it before, but then you're explaining it in such a way that it puts the things together. You know, it's putting it together, like, oh no, see, this means this, this is a, you know, that was the part where I looked at it and thought, oh, like, I'm interested and I want to, you know, it drew me, but then you were able to explain it more and put it together. Like, see, like,
yes,
this goes here, just like you're going to bring forth scripture to explain why my suffering, what did you call it, suffering what?
Yes, the power of suffering.
Yeah, the power of suffering.
That's exactly what I've been doing.
Yeah. So, and does a lot of this... suffering that you've experienced yourself, like, as your own, like, home experience?
It was basically my experience from the time I was 8 years old up until now, and it was basically between, a lot of it was my sicknesses and finances. Like, God put
wow.
me on a 3-year, I lived 3 years without any money. And I didn't really have anybody to help me, just God. And I became dependent, you know, and he taught me not to ask anybody, you know, for anything, just him. And so,
yeah.
a lot of things happened, and he says that he, and I didn't complain. It's just that I just knew, you know, that he was doing something in me. So I just prayed to him. I never forget one time I wanted a soda. I didn't even have money for a soda. And I would pray to him for soda, pantyhose, anything I could think, anything I needed. I would never ask
wow.
anybody because I knew that everything that I needed was in him. And
yeah.
so, and even if I asked someone, they wouldn't give it to me anyway. So then I finally figured out that he didn't want me to ask anybody. So I stopped because when I asked somebody, they didn't give it anyway. So I said, wait a minute. I said, the reason why they're not giving it to me is because it's designed that way for them not to give it to me. So then I stopped.
Wow, that's so good. That is so good right there.
Wow,
so
that's powerful.
Because sometimes I know that people don't understand that when they think that people are not trying to help them and they're suffering and they can't pay this or pay that. But they don't know that it's designed that way to get you to a place and get you dependent upon God. And they don't realize that. And very fast, I realized it because my family wouldn't give me anything. My mother passed. The money went in the grave. I had lost my company. Mm-hmm. And it's like I woke up one day. I had a company, a very lucrative company, and I woke up one day and I had nothing. And I knew that God was calling me in. And so from that day forward, you know, it was just like downhill. But I know, you know, that it was all because he was for the anointing. I knew that it was for the anointing. Yeah, so when I figured that out, then I was like, okay, well, if I don't have this, if I don't have that, it doesn't matter to me if I don't have it, because I know that if I ask him and he wants me to have it, then he's going to give it to me. So I learned how to, like, money is not my thing. I've been taken way off the money realm because I found out it was more about getting next to him than it was to having things. The things were taken out of me. I used to have money, and I would, like, when I did have money, I would give to people, and then they would use me. But God says when he gives it back this time, I'm not going to allow anybody to use me, that he's going to have me give it to whoever he tells me to give it to.
Mm-hmm.
So I lost a lot of money doing it that way. But I have a nephew, and his identity is in money. So when he talks to me, he talks to me. I'm 62 years old. He's 30. He's like, oh, Angie, I was in business. Well, why don't you get in business again? I'm not concerned about business right now. I'm concerned about God's business. That's what I'm concerned about. So, you know, the money thing, that's not my priority, because whatever he says that he has fed me with manna, and now he's going to, you know, take me from that, you know, to another level. Whatever he has given me, I have been grateful because I've had, and then I didn't have. So I know what it is to have. So, you know, and me not having, I was more concerned about the presence of God and not so much as having a whole lot of money, you know. But if he gives it to me, I'm the type of person that I help people with the little money that I do have. I'll give. So that's exactly what I was doing. I was writing on the suffering, and I have a lot of scriptures that I was writing down, and I was trying to tie it in, you know, and really look at, you know, the suffering of you know, Jesus, and the suffering, the parallel between mine, you know, what happened to me and what is designed for me, you know, why I had to go through it and why it was designed that way.
Yeah, that's really good. You know, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or 6 weeks ago or so, in service, the pastor talked about stewarding our sufferings.
Ooh, and that's good too.
I know. And I was like, man, I never heard that before like that. But he was talking, he was talking about how Paul shared his sufferings, right?
Yes, that's what I'm on. I have scripture, yes.
And yes, and so this is where he landed here. Let me just say this, but you're right, because you're actually making me think of a couple of testimonies of one time we were doing something, as I look for this, we were doing, my computer is a little delayed, and then it jumped off. We were doing something with our finances, you know, trying to be, or, you know, really upright before the Lord. And I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to, we were between checks, and I said, I am not going to buy anything else from the grocery store unless, until we get our next check. This is just some other references we're into. And I said, if I run out of anything, it's going to be bread. And this is my kids were younger too. I said, if I run out of anything, it'll be bread. I mean, that was my foresight anyway. And I said, but if I need bread, then you supply the bread for me. Okay. So my neighbor knocked on the door, and it used to be one of our stores here that we would have, or, you know, I guess anywhere, they do that buy one, get one free. And anytime he would buy something, he would buy it and then give us the free one. But I know, which was usually ice cream or cookies or cake or something like that, you know, like something he wanted. And then he went, well, anyways, this time he's standing at the door. I opened the door and he's got a loaf of bread. This is the one time and the only time. And he usually always knocked on our door when it was buy one, get one free. He would give us the free. This is the only time he brought us bread. And I opened the door.
Oh, wow.
And I seen him standing there with a loaf of bread. And I said, oh my goodness. And it was Italian bread too, which I'm Italian. I mean, God, put a little accent on it, you know? So I was like, oh my gosh. And I told him later that I prayed. It really touched him, you know, and actually encouraged him in the things of the Lord, and that God was using him, you know, because he was a more traditional faith, you know. And anyway, that's what reminded me. So here's the verse, though, that I was looking up for you. He taught in Colossians 1, at the latter part of it, he was talking about, and you probably already got this because you're on it, but because Paul said his sacrificial service for Christ, so in verse 24, and then the latter part of that in Colossians 1:24 till it ends. So he says, now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up my flesh for what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is in the church. Anyway, you could finish reading it, but that's where he taught from on there, where Paul was talking about that and then the effects on it and what happens. But that's where he talked on stewarding our sufferings. Yeah.
Yes.
I thought, oh, that's good.
Yes.
That is very good. So God's going to bless you, because I even felt like when the pastor taught it, like we don't hear a lot of that. And a lot of us have gone through some really rough things as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, so let me just pray. I feel like I just feel this unction to pray for you as opposed to speak over you.
Okay.
Yeah. So Father, I thank you, God, for what you're doing, which is interesting, God, that I even seen the word script and then scribe, God. So she's taking scripture and scribing it unto your name, Father God, and she's capturing it. And you're framing it, God. Let her frame your heart. Let her frame your purposes, Father, according to your word, God. And I pray, Lord, that this would be expedited, God, to those who need to hear it and those that need to learn it and even those who need to heal from it, God, as she shares her testimony verbally, God, that they themselves would heal, that they would come up under your reign and your rule, God, every part of their soul and their being, God. And even, you know, me just reading from Romans 12, 1 and 2, is this is an example of that being a living sacrifice, God, in bodily form unto you, God, her entire life and her suffering, God, that she's learned, Lord, what is the good, pleasing, and acceptable will of God for her life, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you would bless this and increase it. And I really do feel the word to expedite this. God, expedite this, God, for the favor of God in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So praise God. That's good.
Yeah. Well, thank you for praying for me.
Yes, it's my privilege. Thank you for joining us. Bless you.
Okay. Have a good night.
Thank you. You too. Okay, our next caller, 323-572. Good evening. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, my name is Frida.
Hi, Frida. Are you in California?
Yes. I've called you before.
Yeah, that's what I thought I remembered. That's why I was saying. So, good job. Okay, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for Frida, Father. Just bring her before you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you would speak, Lord, and just release what it is you want to release to her, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, sometimes, well, the verses of the Lord, like his light, the light of the Lord lights our way and lights our path. And he also shines that light upon us as well. And, you know, sometimes we, you know, when we come into his presence and feel the warmth of his presence and all that he brings, like sometimes we can feel the warmth of even his virtues and him shining upon us. But he also covers your back. And it's not just that the Lord is a rear guard. And this is the part I feel like he wants me to speak into is that, you know, his word says, and I believe Psalm 23, is that goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life. And he has you covered. He's covering your back. He's covering your back with goodness and mercy. So while you might know full well the light that leads you, he is not behind you with darkness. He's behind you. He's got your back with goodness and mercy. So I thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, for any various shadows of darkness or doubt that would try to speak otherwise to her, God, or hinder her. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, God, for the goodness and the mercy that draw her in, Lord. And sometimes goodness and mercy can be like at a, not really at a distance, but for sorry, one dog talking in my ear. You know, the sheep, they have the dogs that corral the sheep, right? Well, the dogs are always watching the sheep, and so they're a little bit at a distance, if you will, but they know exactly where those sheep are at all times, and if they're staying where they need to be. But they're like the goodness and mercy, like those two are corralling you in. But the Lord more than that wants to know, because I see it like a various, he does have your back. He does have your back, and it is with goodness and mercy. So thank you, Lord. You know, him shining forth and leading the way. And again, I'm just repeating this. So in case there's something more, sometimes there's a cycle around and there's another piece. I thank you, Lord, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. So there you go.
Amen. I don't know if you remember, I've called several times since I was first introduced to PGN, and I initially had called about the issue that I was having with fibroids.
Oh, I think I remember that.
Yeah, and when you were prophesying to me, you were asking me did I leave a church and join another church when the event of me having the fibroids start occurring? And I remember it took me a few weeks, and I was like, I need to call her back, because now it's becoming clearer to me as of what I was exactly trying to understand when you were asking me that. And then I remember calling back, and I told you and I explained to you that all of the events had took place because I was 14, and I had promised God that I would give my life to him if he removed me and my brother out of the care of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so on my 15th birthday, CPS and with the police, they came and removed me and my brother. And so maybe a year or so later, I ended up coming back to my family in Dallas, because I'm originally from Dallas. Mm-hmm. So a couple years later, I go back to my family, and my sister, she gave her life to God at around 17. So my sister's always been heavily, heavily into God and church. And so I went back to the church that I went to when I was younger. And a lady that was kind of like a mother figure to me, I called her my Nana. And she had prophesied to me, and I had went forward, like, to the altar, and she said, you promised God something. And basically God is wondering, you know, he brought you out of a situation that you had been praying to him about, and you came to him about, and he heard you. And God wants you to keep your promise that you gave him in so many words. And so when you prophesied to me about that, it all came together. And that's why I was like, I have to call back to tell the rest of my story of exactly how it ended up being over 20 years later that I almost end up dying and being hospitalized for 8 days for me to realize that I could have had fibroids well over 20 years and never knew.
Wow.
And I never wondered, and I never became angry. Like, some people become resentful to the Father because something is not going their way in their life. I've never questioned God, like, oh, Father, why can't I conceive? Why have I never been pregnant or anything? I was like, maybe it's just not the right time. And so I never became to the point where all of those host of feelings turns into anger at some point. And I never got to that point. I've never understood it. And then once I had this situation happen and everything, and I said, well, maybe that was my punishment because the promises that God gives us, they don't return void. So the promises that he gives us, he doesn't say, oh, I'm going to give you this and I'm going to take this back. The word that he gives us, and the promises that he gives us. So, yes, I was a child, but no, I wasn't a child. I was a teenager, but I was very aware of right from wrong. So maybe that was my punishment of not fulfilling my promises to God. And so
have you felt like you've forgiven your mother?
I forgave my mother. It's been a long time, but I ended up forgiving my mother. And she passed on now. She died in 2015. And I just felt like maybe this is my punishment. This is why I can't conceive. You know, I'm 40. I'm about to be 41. And I was like, maybe that's why I can't conceive, just because of that reason.
You're breaking up a little bit. I don't think it's a punishment. I'm just wondering if it's some type of spirit that is keeping you barren from actually fulfilling the purposes of God in your life and birthing what God's called you to do, even spiritually, but it's coming out in a physical sense. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like the parallel of what's happening physically is symbolic, perhaps, for what's happening spiritually.
Wow, yeah.
And so the starting point would be with your mother. This is why I was wondering about the church aspect of it. And but now that you share more this evening, because I'm just asking the Lord, like, for his wisdom and what he would want me to share or say, I thought of the two things, which is, one, the forgiveness with your mother, to inquire about that. And then secondly, the purposes of God in your life, what he has wanted to birth in your life, whatever is hindering that. I just want to pray over it. I think there's something spiritual. There's a spiritual aspect to that. And so when you said tell me again what happened when you recalled the part about the church you were in. You said the woman was speaking over you saying, you know, when she was praying, kind of prophetically ministering to you. Tell me that part again, if you would.
I went to the altars. You know, like they have, you know, the altar where they call people down to the altar for prayer. Mm-hmm. And I remember going to her and I was just like, nobody knows that. There's no way she would know that because I never told anybody. And so I was just like, I've had guys come to me throughout my whole life in different ways through people. And I believe I maybe haven't even encountered some guardian angels throughout my life. And so It just seems like, I don't know how to explain the experience, but it just seems like every around you stops, and the only thing you focus on is what God is telling you. So it's literally everything stopped, and I said, wait a minute, I never told anybody that.
Yeah.
I can't recall the ending of what she said, but primarily she said, you promised God something. And so, you know, just different events happened, and I never really understood it, and I never really paid close attention to it. I was, you know, still growing and learning things about life and as a young woman and different things. So it never dawned on me that I could have had those, you know, fibroids well over those many years and that.
Yeah.
Maybe the you know, the hardship of the heavy grieving that I had when I lost my mother, not because I didn't forgive her, but because I felt like that it was just random, you know, her passing. And it was just everyone just grieves differently. And so it was, like, really hard on me. And so
– yeah.
But the closure of me and her was actually, we had gotten our closure. But
okay, good.
So just consuming and just taking in all of that, it was just like, well, maybe this is my punishment because, you know, God has still, even with the promise that I broke to him, God has still protected me. God was there with me the whole days in the hospital. I could have died. And, you know, so many things. And God has still been, you know, present. So I know that his hands are still on me. But it was just that I was just like, yeah, this is probably my punishment.
Yeah, I don't think that the Lord is punishing you. And even if you had listened to our last caller, Sylvia, talking about, you know, the sufferings, you know, this would be part of your trials and your sufferings, you know, unto the Lord. But I do want to pray just a spiritual. Did you have any further fellowship within that church over that woman that spoke over you or no? Like, did you continue to go to that church for a little bit?
I did after. My sister was a member of the church. Me and my younger brother were members of that church. And she's passed on now. She passed like a year ago. And that church has been, the pastor passed away since. And so that church, I'm not even sure what's going on or whatnot, because my sister is, of course, in Dallas and I'm in California, but
okay.
We did
and
go
did
back
your sister
there.
Did your sister hear the word that was spoken over you too?
No one heard it but me.
Okay. Okay. I'm just filtering through some things here. Okay. All right. That's very good. Okay. Let me just pray over you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But it's the Lord, I would say, in my opinion, and it's not the Lord punishing you. That's just not the heart of God. Yeah. It's not. I mean, look at Peter. If you look at Peter, denied Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then we read later on that actually Christ reinstated Peter and made him a disciple and an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter didn't suffer. I mean, he didn't. He died on the cross, and then he chose to be hung on the cross upside down because he said that he was not worthy to die the way that Christ died. So all of the disciples died probably horrific deaths, you know, being persecuted and all of that, you know, but for saying yes to Christ, but not for being punished by Christ. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for Frida, Father. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for freedom, for Frida, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray everything that is binding, Lord, her mind or binding her womb from the things that you spiritually want to birth in her, Father God, we loose them now in the name of Jesus. You loose your grips in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, these things dissolve and diminish in the name of Jesus and no longer have a grip like a talion, like a vulture in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, Lord, for speaking life, for meeting her, God, in those places, Lord. I pray, God, if there be any spiritual soul tie within that church, Lord, that just has not been talked about and is unknown in the natural, God, we ask that in the supernatural that you would deal with that and break that off, God. Break any tie, Lord. I don't know. I'm just asking that you would break anything there, God. We thank you, Lord. Lord, anything that her mother may have spoken over her, I don't know either. I'm just going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, that any word curses or accusations, accusatory, God, in the name of Jesus, we call those null and void now in Jesus' name, that they be laid to rest as well. And we call forth, Lord, let the barrenness, Lord, let her sing and let the barrenness come forth, God, that she would bear fruit. Father, her life would be fruitful spiritually. Oh, my gosh. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, for freedom, for Frida. In the name of Jesus. I'm sorry, I wasn't watching the time, but so thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And there is I think it's an Isaiah or something. I'm sorry, I don't have time to look it up. But if you Google it, like on or Bible Gateway or whatever, it says, oh, barren woman, like sing, like there's a contradiction there. It's like an oxymoron that the barren woman sing forth with joy. Look up that verse and start reading that, like in the barrenness, like because fruitfulness is coming forth, you know, and so that there's a change, like the change is coming. And so it starts off that way, but just look at, I think it's a couple of verses verses there. And again, I want to say Isaiah, but I'm not sure if that's correct. But it does start, "O barren woman, sing," or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for calling. But I do need to end because of the program. And I have one more caller.
Okay, thank
that
you
I
so much. And if I can, I'll try to call back Tuesday.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bless
God
you.
Bless you. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, sorry. I'm so sorry. I got so okay. 903-918. I got so caught up in praying and ministering that I didn't even watch the time. So I have like 1 minute. Who am I speaking to?
Michelle from Texas.
Michelle. Okay. Thank you so much for calling. I'm going to have to. Thank you so much. It's good to hear your voice. So I'm going to mute you and pray for you, and then I'm going to end. So, Father, I thank you for Michelle, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you bless her, Father God, with your goodness. I see the Lord, like, doing a washing over you, washing over you, and washing over you. You know, when David picked up the stones where he was going to fight with the enemy of the Lord, he picked up 5 stones from the river. And when the water washes over, it actually smooths things out. So it's that he picked up 5 smooth stones to fight with. You know, that's what he fought Goliath with. And he nailed his enemy with these smooth stones. But I see the Lord doing is like this washing over of water, like the repeated, you know, the ocean, that repeated wave and current or whatever, but a washing over, and he's smoothing some things out. He's smoothing out the rough places and the casings and the outward things, you know, that he's this washing over is smoothing things out in Jesus' name. And the things that like that are inward is actually being protected and preserved. And so I actually see a shell being washed over. So there's a smoothing out going to come out on that shell. But we know inside a shell there are pearls. And sometimes the pearls that make the pearl, there's that sand that has to get in there, that grit or that irritant that actually helps create the pearl, create the thing of value. And it's precious. You know, once it's done and the process is done, it's of great value and it's quite precious. So that's what I see for you. And thank you so much for calling it. It could be symbolic for what's happening. But anyway, the Lord speaks to me in little mini visions and snippets and whatnot. So thank you again, everyone. I'm going the wrong way here on my computer. Blessings to all and shalom.